long as what you do doesn't affect me, I don't care. So now, seeing as how I've evidently conducted myself in a manner that's not offensive to him, I'm accepted within my community, he's accepted within the homes of his friends, the parents relate to me. I've always provided him with love, attention, whatever he needed, I was there. As long as you give the child that and you make the child aware that no matter what you're doing with your life, he is a very large part of your life too. You shouldn't understand. Just give him love. Give him lots of love.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Especially the boys.
That's right. Your father,
the girls,
your husband,
somehow, you know, it's interesting because our women children have us, and in the very real sense, that is a kind of image that they follow, but our boys don't. And so therefore, they have to transmute within themselves the stuff that we give them. In other words, they will never be women, nor do we wish them to be women. They are making a new order, and it is a very difficult order, and I think that we need to be aware of that. We need always to be aware of that. I agree with you, Virginia. Okay, very good. It's nice. We'll take a short
presentations are being presented to you by the Committee for the Visibility of the Other Black Woman, the Black Lesbian. And we're having these panel discussions through October in order to raise money to hold a conference about and for Black lesbian women. Because very often, when you think about lesbians, the Black lesbian is invisible. She isn't seen as much as some other groups. So, members of the committee, we got together, we decided the way to heighten our visibility is to bring all of us together and find out what it is that we were concerned about, see if we could somehow address ourselves to that. Excuse me. So in October, we're going to have a conference about and for Black lesbian women. It will be held in a Black community. We do not know which one yet. We would like to hold it in Harlem. But that depends on our ability to raise monies, and that's why we would like to thank you for coming out and supporting this effort. At this time, I'd like to announce to you our next presentation. It's going to be held. I'll read our flyer that's in the back. I think there are a couple of more left. A Committee for the Visibility of the Other Black Woman, the Black Lesbian, presents a slideshow and exhibition. And it's entitled African Women in Antiquity, Lesbian Themes Among the Amazons, the African Goddesses, and the Rain Queen. And the date is June 28, 1980. For the new book, June 28, 1980. And it will be held at Hunter College, 675 Park Avenue. 695? I've been corrected by Joyce Hunter from Lesbians Rising. 695 Park Hunter on Park Avenue. And you're going to enter from the 69th Street side. The time is from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we ask all of you that want to come and see this to please be there on time because we are limited in terms of the time we actually can use the place.
No, be 3 to 7.
3 to 7? Been corrected again from 3 to 7. We have to give us time to clean up afterwards. This event is being co-sponsored by Lesbians Rising, a group based at Hunter College, and Joyce Hunter, their representative, is here. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
And the Lesbian History Archives, and there are people here from the archives. This one, we're going to ask for a $5 donation, more if you can and less if you can't. So please get a flyer, tell your friends, and come out and further support our effort to raise money to sponsor our Black Lesbian Conference in the fall. Those of you who came earlier know that this evening we have a guest facilitator, Audrey Lord, who has been doing a marvelous job up here. And now we're going to move on to our last panel presentation, and it's called Identities. Where's the flyer so I can read all these things?
Identities.
Bulldaggers. You bulldaggers in the house? Dykes. Lesbians. Femmes. Sulis. and women identified women. And Georgia recently told us about another term. It's called futch.
Futch.
Futch. A futch, I understand, is a feminine looking butch. So, that I'm going to leave. I'm not even going to get into discussing the terminologies. I will leave that to all my sisters here. There's just one thing that I want to say about identities and self-identification, and then turn it over to the panelists, which is this. It is not so important what the identity is or how we identify ourselves. What is of utmost urgency and of utmost importance is that each of us, for ourselves, identify in some way that is acceptable within ourselves who we are and what we are about. Because it's the oldest truism in the world. If you do not identify yourself, the larger community, the outside world will identify you, and it will always identify you to your detriment. Right? It will always be something less than what you yourself wish to be. So what is important here is not how we identify ourselves, what are the words, so forth, but that we have a sense that self-identity, self-definition is urgent and necessary and ongoing, that this is a process that goes on throughout our whole lives. Oh, the first speaker. Okay, we're going to deal here, let's see, Bulldagger. That will be Janae, then. Janae is talking about it. Then there's Virginia, we'll discuss femme. And then Anita, we'll talk about woman identified women.
What's that
mean? Diane, come back, don't walk out. Come on, come on.
Diane is sooner.
Diane is sooner. There are a lot of different words for that, right?
Tuna.
Oh my God, so good. Okay, Janae.
Well, I am a bulldagger. I have always been a bulldagger. I enjoy being a bulldagger. When I was coming along, if you lived uptown, you were a bulldagger. And the dear white folks that live downtown were lesbians. A few years ago, when I started associating downtown, I became a lesbian. But in my heart, I am a bulldagger.
Thank you.
In some ways, I find it kind of difficult to relate to some of the lesbians of today because I feel that they slight the old-fashioned bulldagger the same way people slight their old grandmothers and things. They forget from whence they come. They come to me and they tell me, they say, you shouldn't dress so hard, you're trying to imitate men and this, that, and other, and so forth, and everything like that. You should dress unisex. You should not be into role-playing. They give me a whole long list of should nots, you understand? And I have, sometimes I ignore them, but 9.5 times out of 10 I do not, because it's not my nature. And I have to let them know that this old gray-headed bulldagger made it possible that you could be out here and jump up and down and shout and say that you don't want to be in role playing, that you are saying that you are not into the uniform that I am into, but look around, you are into a uniform because the feminine, the butch, and the whatever they call themselves, they all got on the combat boots and the work clothes and everything. They tried to tell me that they are not into material things. Well, this is all well and good. I am not one for going out camping in the woods and sleeping in a sleeping bag. If I go on a camping trip, I camp next to a Holiday Inn, so when the nighttime comes, I can go sleep in a bed. You know, I don't want to sleep on the ground. I don't want to sleep in a sleeping bag. I don't feel that I am furthering my cause by living in an empty apartment saying that I'm not into material things. I want every kind of convenience gadget. I want everything that's going to make life comfortable to me. This is me. I have just come out of my drag clothes. I still have some flow shine shoes at home that I wear. I have my pants. I have my shirts. When my son was home on leave, I bought him and I the same pair of pants, same style pair of pants. He didn't have enough room in his clothes coming from Germany because he was bringing other things, so I let him wear some of my shirts while he was here on leave. You understand? I enjoy being who I am. I remember the days that when I was walking along the street, I had to have on three pieces of feminine clothing. Else the policeman would shake you down and find out whether you had on the three pieces of feminine clothing. You understand? I'd like my lover to look like a woman. I don't want her to look like me. I'm letting my hair grow now, but I usually used to keep it very short. I don't want to look at me. You understand? When I look at my lover, I want her to be soft and curvaceous and curvy. I want her to look like a woman. I want her to smell like a woman. I don't want her to look like she just come from a karate class and get ready to come and whip me. You know, I want a feminine looking woman. I want her to understand I am the butch, you are the femme. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you have it in your mind. She can be, I have had relationships with other butches. But in my mind, they were the femme. I don't care what they call themselves. They were the femme, I was the butch. And when we went out together, they dressed like the femme and that, because this is me. But only thing I just resent people of this era trying to like put me down because this is what I want to be. I am happy this way. I have paved the way that you can be what you want to be. I was respected in my neighborhood before they allowed me to come down below 96th Street. We took care of the neighborhood. The butchers were the number runners. They ran the grocery stores. They had the after-hour places. They had the little joints and everything like that. Then somewhere along the way, the white man found out that the black bulldagger had money. So they systematically closed up all our bars. They found ways to close up all our clubs. And they forced us, if you wanted to go to a bar, to come downtown. I resent that my only opening for me to go to a bar is a B&C that I know when I put the money in the woman's hand, she resents me coming there. I resent the fact that so many of the younger black lesbians have been brainwashed through the feminist movement when the media said that it was all full of lesbians and bulldaggers and everything. They were so busy to get the money, to get the exposure, saying that we don't have them in here. We are just women that love women. They brainwashed the whole generation that you are not supposed to be into roles, that you are not supposed to be into a one-to-one relationship. You are supposed to have this indiscriminate fucking around and everything like that, and you call it open relationships. You go into a room, if there's six people in there, five of them have been in the bed with one another. You understand? I'm not used to these kind of things, you know? My lover is my lover, and my friends know that they do not fuck around with my lover. You understand? We had mothers, we had fathers, we had a whole support system. It wasn't like today. If your mother and father put you out of your house or didn't relate to you because you were, because we lesbian, something that word, you know, sometimes I just can't say it because you were a bulldagger. Older parents, they didn't know. They sent their children out into the street because they were disgrace to the family. We took them in. We had mothers, we had fathers, we had grandparents, cousins, we had a whole family. I know lesbians, couples that have educated other people's children because their blood mothers and fathers put them out. They have sent them to school, they have fed them, they have clothed them because they were a member of their gay family. When they got in trouble, they went to their support and to their help. And this was a black bulldogging community tradition. Today, since the late 60s and early 70s, we have lost a lot of this. We have isolated ourselves. I go to dances, and the women say, we can't have a dance that we're going to let men in. Until recently, I never went to a dance that was segregated that way. If it was a gay dance, then everybody that was gay was allowed to come to that dance, whether they were men or women or not, because after all, men make up 50% of the population. And in their own way, they are just as much discriminated against as we are. And if we do not support one another, then we cannot expect to get support from them. The men have the money. And if we want them to help us in our endeavors to improve the conditions that we all suffer under, we must realize, I'm not saying that we should be palsy-wowsy with them or anything like that, but we must accept the fact that they are part of the population of the world. They have bars. We say we do not have bars, but it's because we discriminate against ourselves. There's a bar on 3rd Avenue and 26th Street called The Company. It's predominantly men. Some friends of mine went in there, and the man said he was glad to see them. There were no women in there for the simple reason that the women did not come in there. They probably went to the door, seen the men, turned around, and walked out. If they had gone, then they would have known that they were welcome. There's a whole heritage in lesbian history from the black lesbian community that is being lost on the younger black lesbian, because she will step out of her ghetto tenement, walk 10 blocks to the subway or 5 blocks to the bus, come all the way downtown past her neighborhood and say, I don't want to go to a bar in Harlem. I don't want to go to a bar in the South Bronx. I don't want to go to a bar in Bed-Stuy. If you don't want to go to a bar there, then why are you living there? You leave your neighborhood to go to somebody else's neighborhood to give them your money because they have a downtown address. I cannot see the significance of this. And I would like most or all young lesbians to give more support to their lesbian sisters when they open up establishment. I know one establishment, Ronnie and Rachel's, has closed. They had a very nice place, but they were not supported. The people would leave all the way in the Bronx where Ronnie and Rachel was and fall over themselves in Elaine's and LaFemme's and whatever bars they have downtown and everything like that. But that's getting a little away from the point. The point is, I am a butch. I enjoy being a butch. I would not know how to think like a femme. I think that whatever role you decide that you are going to be, it is a state of mind. It takes a certain way that you think about it. It would never occur to me in the morning to get up and look in the mirror and put on lipstick or whatever it is that they do. You know, when I get up in the morning, I comb my hair, I put on my pants, I put on my shoes, and whatever, I go to work. You understand? The only thing that I make is I do condescend to carry a great big pocketbook. Other than that, I go to work like a butch because this is what I am. And this is what I want to be accepted as. This is the way I've lived my life. And when I die, I don't want my family, for purposes like a friend of mine died, she had bought a white suit to be buried in. And when she died, her mother went against her wishes because she didn't want the neighbors to say anything, and she buried this woman in an evening gown. She looked like a faggot in drags in her coffin. You know. People should be respected for what they live their life as. You cannot change in death what a person has lived all their life. If you do not choose to go into roles, if you do not believe in butch or femme, if you're switching in this today and that tomorrow, that's all right. But you should not. You should not feel that your way is the only way and that any other way is the wrong way. Respect, that the lady over there asked about what to do with her child, respect. And any kind of relationship that you have, whether it's with your lover or your friend or the community at large, respect is always the bottom line. Respect the other person for the space that they wish to occupy. You don't have to occupy that space. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to like it. But respect the person that wants to stand in that space.
Thank you, Janae. Virginia? Hello, again. And thank you all so much for joining us this evening. As some of you might have guessed by now, I'm the femme on this panel. And I'm going to speak to you on the nature of being a femme. I personally feel that being a femme is determined by many factors. The primary one being how a woman visualizes herself and why. Now, we all know that for the most part, we are products of our environment. So, for some of us, being a femme isn't really assuming a role, but merely acting out what is so very natural for us. It's a matter of conditioning and or upbringing, association, and class. To start at the very beginning, I would think most women wouldn't stand a chance of being anything other than very feminine. As little girls... As little girls, we were given toys that prepared us for motherhood, being housewives, and generally everything the weaker sex, quote, should be in tune to. There were dolls, of course, sewing kits, paper dolls, tea sets, nurses' kits, dollhouses, carriages, and a host of other toys that left us little opportunity to extend our imaginations in any other direction. For some of us, this proved to be challenging. But for others, it seemed to be the very natural course of things. Along with these conditioning mechanisms, there were the subtle modes of programming. Your choice, for example. We were taught to cook, clean, sew, do the laundry, and in general, all the household tasks that a good woman, wife, mother should be able to do without a second thought. And finally, let us not forget the very darling way in which we were dressed. Some of my very favorite pictures show me wearing white gloves, patent leather shoes, a frilly hat with flowers, and never to be forgotten purse that matched my shoes to a T. I never wore a pair of pants until summer, and then they were still little cutesy short sets that I dared not get dirty. Part two, our sexuality. And here the possibilities are vast. Now, I'm sure we can all go back to some point in our early childhood and remember some type of sexual encounter with another little girl, but probably not paying very much attention to its implications at the time. Even upon reaching adulthood, I doubt if these little experimentations ever come to mind. Aside from these little forays with forbidden fruit, it could have been the combination of numerous events or a certain stark realization on your own. Why were you first sexually attracted to a woman? And most important, what type of woman were you attracted to? What did this mean, you being you? And liking a woman so very different from you? A woman who actually aroused your passionate nature? A butch, bull dag, staff, dyke, butch, whatever. Still a woman. But a woman whose very hardness complemented your softness, which means you butch me, Finn. So now, being a Finn means just what exactly? Within the gay lifestyle, and to those of us who actively participate in role-playing relationships, a femme is the very feminine, passive, soft, and ultra-womanly half of a female couple. It means having doors open for us, though I will open a door if hands are occupied carrying heavy packages. It means being wined and dined, though I will treat for a special occasion. And it means we are actively sought after and earnestly pursued. While basically patterned after heterosexual relationships, there are distinct differences in how a femme can relate to her lover. The element of ever feeling that she sustains a lesser degree of worth is, or at least should be, non-existent. After all, aren't we as two women equal in self-esteem? You will find, too, for the most part, that women involved in one-to-one relationships often retain a certain degree of independence, in that we usually feel it is vitally essential that we are able to fend for ourselves. Perhaps the reason for this is that femmes, though of course regardless of roles, we do all bear children, more often than not is the parent in the relationship. This means that she has not only herself to care for, but has the responsibility of nurturing her child as well. I could go on and on, but time is limited. However, there is one point I'd like to touch upon, particularly since it's been a source of puzzlement to me throughout my 10 years and 5 months of being a femme. That is the question of aggression. While attempting to establish contact with one you might be interested in, does it necessarily mean one has to take a non-assertive attitude? I am, of course, understanding of the feminine wiles by which a femme shows interest, the longer than socially acceptable appropriate eye contact, a chance dropping by empty hands, mind you, of an article, hopefully to be retrieved by one you strategically placed yourself next to. The enactment of being so very helpless and thereby needful of one more forceful than yourself. But when all this fails, what then? To speak or not to speak, that is the question. So, while being a femme might have its very definite advantages, I do feel, admittedly by my own inherently passive nature, that role-playing does place restrictions on, as well as limitations, on the amount of interacting one can involve oneself in. And so, to those of you who have wondered in the past just what this butch femme lifestyle is all about, I do hope I've been able to enlighten you somewhat. Thank you. Thank you, Virginia. I think what comes very, very clear over and over again is, as was said at the beginning, the diversity of our experience and the diversity of our expressions and therefore, of course, our identities. Next, we're going to hear from Diane Wilson on Sooners and others.
Well, before I start this, let me begin by saying how I got myself into this. We, the members of the committee, were looking for speakers for these various categories and could not find someone who would be willing to speak for the Sooners, although I knew quite a few out there, and even some in our committee. And so we were pressed for time, and we had to get the news releases out. And so I said, oh, what the hell, I'll do it. And after I said I'd do it, then I thought about it. I said, oh, shit. But I said, okay, I'll speak anyway. Now, first of all, I guess everybody should have a definition of what is a Sooner. Since many people are quite puzzled by the name. You know, what is meant by Sooner? And when I began to ask this question, in fact, it came to me very, you know, roughly, you know, I didn't even know there was a category. But now I know it's referred to as a student. So what I found out this particular name was from a butch, in terms of what a sooner was and how a butch defined a sooner. And there was some very, very snide remark, because it's considered a negative term to be a sooner. A sooner is what I was heard. Our first description of a sooner I heard was a switch hitter. Then I heard another from Audrey. Audrey, you just said,
oh, Kai Kai. They used to call us Kai Kai girls, which is the same word that was used for prostitutes, right? For gay prostitutes, for lesbian prostitutes who slept with men. In other words, ACDC, Kai Kai.
That's right. Okay. The other one was
that was in the 40s.
The other one was ACDC. Then a new one I heard quite recently was being ambidextrous.